Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. It is a Monday, and we are live in Los Angeles, and it is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. Top of next hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. J-Mac, I know you were out and about with America. I was grounded here in Los Angeles watching playoff games the whole weekend. Lakers, Denver. Stop me if you've seen this result before. Nine straight.
Season on the line tonight for LeBron. But yes, I survived Nash Vegas. It's not Nashville, it's Nash Vegas.
Yeah.
Awesome city.
It's great city.
You need to get there soon.
I've been to Nashville more than once. Great city.
I would suggest leaving the wife at home.
Well, no, she likes Vegas,
oh,
too.
Oh, she doesn't.
And Nashville. So the thing about greatness, like the Denver Nuggets, is they create clarity. How do you compare to greatness? They really illustrate a team's flaws. And when the Lakers face Denver, you really see their flaws that can be hidden against average teams to slightly better than average. D'Angelo Russell, can't trust him in big playoff spots. Austin Reeves, he's a nice four, not a great one. Lakers bench, eh. Darvin Ham, meh. AD and LeBron were great. 13 total assists. 59 total points, 56% from the floor. LeBron and AD were fantastic. It's a great 1-2 punch. But Denver has the world's best player in Jokic. And maybe the best duo in the league with Jamal Murray, who's one of the rare players who's significantly better in the playoffs than in the regular season. Aaron Gordon, a top athlete defender. Michael Porter, 17-7. KCP, always lethal in the postseason. And an experienced championship-winning coach. Twice in Game 1, Denver just shifted gears for like 90 seconds to 2.5 minutes, blew the Lakers' doors off. And again, LeBron and AD were great. But the Lakers have lost 9 straight to Denver, and they've led by 10 or more in half of those games. But the difference is the Nuggets give you consistent excellence with an occasional spurt. The Lakers are hot and cold. There's a nuanced analytics stat called organized offense percentage by quarter. It's boring, but what it illustrates is Denver is literally the same team the entire game. And the Lakers were very good early and very bad late. As LeBron, as he's age, gets older and gets tired, he often gets very sloppy, and that initiates these big Denver 2-minute runs, and it's game over. So Denver's very much a marathon runner. They run the first mile at the same speed as the last mile. And they know it's Steve Prefontaine. They can endure more than you can over the course of a couple hours. And you're just watching an excellent team. And I said before the series, it's not that the Lakers are going to lose, because they are. But what if they get swept again or lose in five games, which they will? What are the repercussions? LeBron has options. Golden State is interested. Will Darvin Ham get run out? D'Lo's gone. Are they tired of just Austin Reeves, AD, and nobody else on the bench you can really trust? There are repercussions for great players when they lose. Maybe not for KD, who's a bit of a wanderer, but there have been historically for LeBron, who is not. He's just mobile. But when he gets his feet in the ground in a place he wants to live, he's going to make changes. So this series and these games, nine straight times I've watched all these games, they're all the same. D'Lo doesn't deliver. It feels like they're slightly outcoached. They have moments of excellence, but it's the continued, consistent success that Denver provides, and it creates clarity. That's the great thing about championship teams. You look at the Chiefs. You start looking at great teams across the board. Michigan this year, they point out your flaws, what you need to work on. And boy, does Denver do that to the Lakers, and here's LeBron after.
You don't have much room for error versus Denver team, especially at their, on their home floor. They're just a team that's been through everything. Obviously, they're the defending champion. So, you know, you got to execute. You got to make shots. You got to defend. And then you can't give them extra possessions.
No, you can't. All right, it's draft week. It is draft week, and Caleb Williams is going to go number one to the Chicago Bears. And I'm reading The Athletic this morning. And there's a quarterback coach in the NFL who played in the league. And he talked about Caleb Williams. He said, listen, his arm, there's a lot of wild stuff here. This kid's spectacular talent. This is generational stuff. But he also added context, said this NFL quarterback coach, who again played in the league. And I think he made great points about Caleb Williams. And I'm going to show them to you. The first one he said is, the Bears head coach safe. You have a first-year coordinator. It's not like he's going to a place that's stable. It's not like the Jordan Love takeover in Green Bay. The coach continued. Not going to be like that in Chicago. Defensive head coach, hot seat, new OC. There was quarterback stuff for the last number one guy with Justin Fields. Half the team wanted him to stay, half didn't. Those things are huge factors for a young quarterback coming in at the start of his career. And he continued. Look at Brock Purdy. Goes into a situation, all the boxes are checked. Solid organization, good defense, play caller, developer of talent. Knew exactly what he was looking for. Those things are critical. If Purdy goes to the Panthers, we don't know who he is right now. I do not disagree with any of those points. But I'd like to add that something else is true. If you're destined to be a star in this league, you will be. Trevor Lawrence entered a complete clown show. Year two, in the AFC, he won a playoff game. Justin Herbert's had two coaches, both whiffs. He's gotten to the playoffs in a division with Mahomes. Joe Burrow entered with a young head coach, losing record, frugal owner, nor indoor practice facility, none in Cincinnati, a northern climate, horrible offensive line. At the time, didn't have a dominant weapon, running for his life, and his career, he's two plays from winning a Super Bowl. Yes, where you land is really critical. But the great ones find a way to do it. The Colts were a mess. Colts were a mess before Peyton Manning. He won four MVPs there and got to two Super Bowls. If Caleb Williams, and I believe he is generationally great, you'll see it. The Bears GM and owners will see it. And if Matt Eberflus isn't the guy, he'll be gone. I suspect he will be after year one. Herbert got the bag. I mean, Josh Allen, think about this, has yet to have a great O-line, has a defensive coach, he's on his third coordinator, has never had a true number two receiver, finally got an elite running back. In the last 5 years, they've been top four in offense. You'll figure out how to get it done. In every business, talent overcomes. Talent wins. Talent separates. Yes, for 90% of these players, it's where you land. It's who coaches you. J.J. McCarthy is not talented enough, nor is Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and I like all three to some degree. They're not talented enough to go to a clown show and deal with a coaching carousel. Herbert is. And in my opinion, Caleb Williams is. If you're destined to be a star in the entertainment business, singing, music, athletics, you will be. Jordan hit on his third coach. Jordan eventually got Scottie Pippen. Eventually, as Jordan fought with his owner and his GM and the first couple of coaches and teammates, eventually it worked. It always does. All right, J-Mac. So I sat around Saturday and Sunday, and after little morning workouts, watched a ton of playoff basketball, and I've come to the conclusion it is put up or shut up time for Joel Embiid. There's no way with Jalen Brunson not having a great day and no second star on that team that Joel Embiid should lose that game with a second star.
Yeah. Would be interesting if they lost game two and then you started hearing rumblings about Joel Embiid. I'm done in Philly. Get me to New York to play with Jalen Brunson. We know the Embiid New York stuff's been out there for a minute, huh? That would be very Kevin Durant of him. I'm out. I just lost to you guys. I'll go play with New York. That, by the way, the environment at the Garden
was
electric.
You know what? I was telling my friend Jason Timpf on my podcast last night. I said, you know, NBA players don't need any individual market to succeed. You can get rich anywhere. Shoe deals, Instagram, salary. But right now, many of the best teams or about to be best teams, OKC, Minnesota, Denver Nuggets, Orlando, there's a lot of brands that aren't very big national brands. And if the Lakers get ousted, Steph's out, LeBron's out, the New York Knicks become very valuable as a brand for the league. I watched that game, and the Knicks, just because of the Garden and those fans and the celebrities, it felt like a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
The intent, I'm sorry, Cleveland and Orlando and Indianapolis and OKC don't jump out of my TV like Madison Square Garden does. I mean, they're going show star, big loud guys pumping. And there's something about the lights in New York where they light the crowd. Maybe that's you can see the celebrities. That thing felt like a Game 7 of a conference finals.
The only environment, home teams, by the way, 8-0. I think that was the first time in like over 10 years that that's happened in the first round, game one. Minnesota environment with Anthony Edwards going off. I thought that was the second best to the Garden. It was just like, this is big-time basketball.
Yeah, it's fun. It's
really fun stuff.
Home teams rolled.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You can keep telling me something is great, but I need proof, data, something. I've been hearing for years Joel Embiid is a great all-time center. Okay. So all the great centers since I started watching the NBA in 1972, they've all won championships. Wilt, Moses Malone, Bill Walton, Akeem, Shaq, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, now Jokic. They've all won. Walton in the 70s, Wilt. 72 is the first year I remember watching the NBA. They've all won. Even second-tier centers, Ewing, Dwight Howard, got to finals. Embiid's been in the league for like 11 years. He's played for eight of them. Came in hurt. He's never won a second-round Eastern Conference playoff series. The East has never been this weak. I mean, I love the Knicks, but a two seed, it's never been this weak. He's got a second star. He lost this weekend. Again, he's losing in the East, often losing as the favorite. In this Knicks series, he has a second star. Maxey was great, 33 points. Kyle Lowry, the ghost of Kyle Lowry appeared. He was really good. And you're going to let Josh Hart and Miles McBride beat you? Jalen Brunson has very few stinkers. That may be the only one in the series. 8 for 26, didn't play well, not efficient. He's a great player. So Jalen Brunson doesn't play well. Jalen Brunson doesn't have a second star. He's got rotational guys, number three and four guys. Embiid gets his number two guy that plays out of his mind. Kyle Lowry plays an incredibly important game. I'm sorry. I need proof. Well, the MVP, let's be honest, that was an anti-Jokic vote. It wasn't a pro-Embiid vote. You got tired of the European guy dominating MVP voting, and Jokic is truly great. He does more well than Embiid does, and he's always available. But all the top players right now in the NBA who at least have some age on them and experience, they've all been to conference finals. Kawhi's and Jimmy Butler's and Steph and LeBron and AD and Tatum. It doesn't matter. They've all been to conference finals. Joel Embiid can't win a second-round playoff series in the East. The weakest it's ever been. At some point, dude, you were 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter. At some point, I need more April, May, and June wins. I'm sorry. I'm not going to put you in all these classes. Oh, he's Shaq. He's this. He's that. He's a center who's often not available and not clutch in big playoff spots. And this was a break. This was a window. Jalen Brunson has very few clunkers. Doesn't have many of those. You may not get another one in the series. Maxey was sensational. Kyle Lowry was good. I'm sorry that you have to change this narrative. It's not on us. This is about you delivering. That's the difference between very good and a stat monster. At this point, Embiid's a stat monster. There's nothing else beyond it. He's a 320 hitter in baseball that never wins a playoff series. You got to give me something here. J-Mac with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line
Am
News.
Am I wrong? You're right. I mean, now Sixers fans push back. Well, with Embiid on the floor, they were plus 14. It's the non-Embiid minutes, and that's where I'm like, well, who do you look at for that? The GM. Where's our roster? I mean, Nick Batum bailed them out against the Heat. Remember that? He had like 20 points, six threes. Embiid goes off the floor, they got nothing.
If Embiid's off the floor and Jalen Brunson's playing poorly, yeah, you still have a star, and the Knicks don't. I mean, the Knicks, Brunson played poorly. Julius Randle not available. Yeah. You Sixers can't beat them just when he's off the floor.
By the way, Tobias Harris benched in the fourth quarter again. Your guy, Tobias Harris. by the way, Jalen Brunson, are you ready for this? 5 offensive rebounds. Joel Embiid, 3. How is a tiny point guard?
Well, the Knicks are incredibly likable because they squeeze every ounce of talent. They're Villanova in the pros.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of these grinder guys who just, the effort, Josh Hart is everywhere. So it's not about, and I do think there's a ceiling to this, but in the Eastern Conference, maybe there's not a ceiling to this team.
So a lot of pressure on Embiid to win this series. I thought Kevin Durant had the most pressure. I think it's probably
Joel. I think it's on Embiid.
Yeah. Big time. All right, let's get started with Jason Tatum and the Celtics. Your buddy, Jason Tatum, it wasn't a close game, so they rolled. He had a triple-double, 23-10 and 10. He also got fouled, if you're watching at home. This is kind of a cheap shot by Caleb Martin in the final minute of the game.
You know what I was thinking about? So they're winning the game convincingly, and the Celtics still have Tatum in the game.
Yeah.
And Miami's like, Caleb, go be disruptive.
All right.
Am I wrong? A little bit of a cheap shot.
All right, well, here's what Tatum said about the cheap shot after the game.
Little.
Just understand it's playoff basketball, right?
It's a physical game, playing against a physical team. You know, going to happen. It's not the last time I'm probably going to get hit like that or fouled in this series. So, you know, I wasn't hurt. You know, you get hit like that, you know, just get up.
I mean, if you look at it, you know, third and fourth time, you see Drew Holiday gave a little shove to Martin, who then was a little...
Let's watch the highlight. I didn't quite see that. Is that what you're trying to sell me on that?
Listen, I don't think it was dirty. I don't think Spoelstra's dirty. Caleb Martin plays hard. This is a guy I bet on a lot back in college. He's just a guy will not stop playing for 40 minutes. I did like how Jaylen Brown stepped up for his buddy there. That's a potentially scary fall for Tatum, who is...
No, I like Jaylen Brown came over to... Show hands.
Yeah, basically anybody shoves you like that, I'm going to step up. Hey,
oh,
settle down, buddy. All right. Next up, let's go to the Dallas Mavericks. Boy, I picked them to go to the finals. They did not look good.
They had 30 points at half.
Yeah, so Cowherd, you know, calls me yesterday and is just mocking the Mavericks for 5 minutes, and I just had to take it. No Kawhi Leonard, 30 points at half for the Mavs, and Jason Kidd talked about the embarrassment after the loss.
I thought their physicality was the biggest thing that stands out. They were physical, and we were passive. So we have to, you know, look at that when we look at the video tonight and tomorrow. That the physicality, we have to embrace that and do better on the floor. And understand we got wide open looks that we just didn't make. We were 1 from 6 from the corner from three. Normally we knock those down. So we'll look and see and how we can get better. And hopefully we have a better effort in the first half.
Yeah, Phoenix and Dallas, honestly, just didn't really want to engage. Like, they just, Phoenix and Dallas, from the very beginning, both got pushed all over the floor. Just a really weak effort. Now, again, it's a 7-game series. I don't know about Phoenix. Dallas is going to play well. They're a little bit of a lopsided roster where their scoring comes from basically two players, whereas the Clippers have four guys, sometimes five, that could give you points. Even Terrence Mann can sometimes drop a 20. Yeah. But I think Dallas will recover. Like, this game, when they had 30 at half, you're like, okay, that's not the way this series is going to look.
Yeah, so it felt like motivation was everything. Mavs came in the hottest team in the league, I think 17-2.
So the Clippers are on their toes, ready to go.
No Kawhi Leonard, so Mavs are like, we got this. And, you know, all these jabronis like you and I saying, oh, Mavericks got this series. I think everybody picked the Mavs to win this series. So Ty Lue motivated his guys.
Yeah.
And you could see, like, Zubats came out and was like... dominant. He had, like, I think 20 and 15.
He was really good.
And by the way, remember, James Harden last year, what did he do early in the series?
Oh, no, he's very good. Harden's playoff history is good early in series.
Oh, yeah. Harden couldn't miss yesterday. We'll see how that goes in game 6 and 7. So just file that away, all the paper clips fans in my mentions. Final story, let's get to the NFL. This is kind of interesting. Dak Prescott finally talking about his new contract. And he's not worried about his future with the team. At a charity event over the weekend, he spoke about what he's looking for. Listen closely in his upcoming contract negotiations.
I know I'm not trying to be the highest paid necessarily. So I'll wait till negotiations begin. And obviously want to put this team in the best situation. I'm not going to say I fear... being here or not, I don't fear either situation. To be candid with you, I love this game and love to play and love to better myself as a player and my teammates around me. Right now, it's with the Dallas Cowboys. It's where I want to be, and that's where I am, and that's the focus. And after the season, we'll see where we're at, and if the future holds that, then if not, we'll go from there.
If you paid quarterbacks, if you made your money based on how good you are, Mahomes is the highest paid. I would put Josh Allen second highest paid. Who's third highest paid?
Well,
you have to consider everything.
It's not Dak, obviously.
Well, Lamar's great, but he has struggled in the playoffs. So if you're paying a quarter, this is not the NBA where the regular season doesn't count. In the NFL, it all counts.
Are you paying for past performance?
I'm paying Stafford's for everything. Productivity, availability, playoff wins. So Mahomes would be the highest paid quarterback in the league. Josh Allen is second. Didn't have Super Bowl wins, but wildly productive. Often the team, he has to overcome elements on his team. Who's third? Well, let me throw a name out at you. Matt Stafford.
Yeah, but the injury history.
I know that dings him up, but is he not in the class for third?
Oh, yeah, he's in the mix.
Burrow's up there, but you know, we've got like 4 straight years of injuries.
Yeah,
and I've got Stafford a year of injuries and a Super Bowl.
Okay, I want to go back to the video. Were you watching it? So I don't want to be body language expert guy,
right.
Dak was rocking back and forth the entire time when he was answering that question. I don't want to be the most paid necessarily. That's a big tell. This is weighing on him a lot. You can even see it. He's holding back what he really wants to say. I got to get paid. I don't want to be a lame duck quarterback. And I agree with him. The problem is Dallas is up against it, Colin.
If you're talking, I guess my point is, if you paid quarterbacks based on production, playoff wins, availability, is Dak about ninth? And right now he's paid like...
Look at him. Look at him rocking back and forth. That is not the look of a guy. When he's at the podium after games, he's just standing there stone-faced and talking. He is rocking back and forth. And to me, that is I need to get paid. Show me the money.
All right.
And can you blame him? Can you blame him?
Well, I don't blame anybody for wanting money. I don't blame anybody for that. I'm just saying it is interesting. If any time the Dak thing comes up, if you pay, that's a good segment for us. If you paid quarterbacks based on availability, has to be a part of it. That hurts Burrow a lot. You got to be available to play. Are you productive? That's second. Third is okay. I need some playoff stuff. That hurts Lamar a lot. Justin Herbert. But it's interesting when you start getting to Dak. It's like you're just not getting. He's mostly available. He's very productive. I don't get anything in the postseason.
Well, that's the interesting thing. Like, you're looking at some quarterbacks who are now playing the waiting game. Dak, Tua, did Trevor Lawrence get paid yet? I don't think he has. And those are guys who it's like, you know, which team is going to blink first and cough up a ton of money? Listen, Trevor Lawrence is up against it, too. You look at his numbers last couple years, turnovers. I mean, listen, I don't care that Lamar won an MVP 5 years ago. I'm not paying him based on that MVP.
Right.
All right. It's tough. Yeah.
J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So when Damian Lillard went to the Bucks, we liked the move. They needed a killer on the outside, like an elite Steph Curry kind of guy. Chris Middleton, good player, eroding, not that guy. And so we know Dame is great, and we know Giannis is great. But the question is, why aren't they great together? So Giannis is out this weekend. Dame has the green light, and he put on a Steph Curry show. I mean, he didn't even have to show up in the second half. He had 35 and a half. The Bucks have decided this is their franchise. They defer to Giannis, even on coaching hires. Giannis makes the call. I want another player. They get rid of Jrue Holiday, who they loved. Giannis is great, no question. And the Bucks' offense is built around Giannis attacking the basket. But that means a lot of times Dame has to defer. And it's very funny. Dame's, to me, not an off-the-ball guy. Like, I think Steph Curry has warped everybody's mind that everybody believes that a shooter like Dame can just play off-ball. And the truth is Steph Curry is unique. Steph Curry has warped everybody's mind thinking what he does, we've all normalized it. Well, you just play off the ball more. Dame yesterday, when it was his team, and he's got the ball, and he's attacking, and he sets the tempo. Totally different team. He was 100% on ball. It's his team. It looks totally different, 35 and a half. So two great players don't always equal great chemistry. LeBron has worked with virtually everybody. He worked with D-Wade eventually. He worked with difficult Kyrie eventually. He worked with AD, still does. And by the way, Steph worked with Clay, and Steph works with KD and Draymond. LeBron and Steph work with everybody. But not everybody's game is that. When I watch Giannis and Dame, and I don't watch every Bucks game, but when I watch them, I always feel like it's your turn, my turn. Is it my turn or your turn? Your turn, my turn. Whose turn is it? And that's not necessarily a great team. But for Dame to score 35 points in a half, and he's got the ball, and he controls the tempo, and he controls the offense, that's ideally suited for Dame's game. But that's not really what the Bucks, how they're constructed. Giannis wants a new coach, they get a new coach. Giannis wants a new star, they let Jrue Holiday go, they get a new star. Giannis wants the ball, Giannis gets the ball. Here was Dame after his performance.
I don't think that it's all on me, but I know that I got to be a little bit more aggressive and I got to, you know, step forward a little bit more assertively. And in the playoffs, like I said before, it's about setting the tone. You know, we're going to see this team a lot of times and you want to establish yourself, especially on your home floor. And, you know, that was just my mentality to come out and, you know, try to set the tone in that way.
So let me throw this at you, J-Mac. So home teams went 8-0. And in most instances, here's why I believe this to be true, is that because the NBA regular season is teams tanking at the end and the good teams resting stars at the end, that the sort of intensity of the NBA regular season does not feel like the playoffs at all. And at the end of a season with many teams tanking, you have to be careful about the teams that get into winning streaks, like the Sixers and the Mavs and the Suns. But what happened this weekend is there is such a gap between the regular season and the playoffs that teams, road teams, go on the road in the playoffs. And the home team, they also played in the same regular season, but they get the jet fuel of the crowd. And if you ever gone to an NBA playoff game, it is not an NBA regular season crowd. It's a totally different sport. It's not like college football or hockey or baseball. No, no, no. You go to an NBA playoff game, it is louder, they're standing, and the road teams, because there's such a malaise about the NBA regular season, the road teams, Lakers were the only one that came out with better energy than the home team. They came out with better energy. But like a Phoenix or a Dallas, a lot of these teams came into the game and they just were overwhelmed by the crowd, the physicality, and the intensity. So if you're a boxer and you have the crowd behind you, or if you're a basketball team and you have the crowd behind you, you tend to be more aggressive, you play with more physicality. And a lot of these road teams, they just weren't ready to play. They just got overwhelmed. Young Indianapolis just got overwhelmed. Dallas, not even ready to be physical. Phoenix, pushed around for 2.5 hours. So my guess is, the losing road teams will come in with, you won't see these rebounding disparities and these physicality disparities in the second game.
Yeah, and I did a little of this on my podcast with how you gamble in the NBA playoffs. Like, I don't think you automatically take the Lakers tonight, but like Lakers first half tonight makes sense. Colin, season on the line for the Lakers. Let's be real. Oh, yeah. You can't go down 0-2 to Denver and expect to beat Jokic four or five. That's not happening, right? I mean, you're not dominating the rest of the series. And I think same thing for the Sixers tonight. They're going to come out and it's not going to just be Embiid. Like, they're going to be playing with their hair on fire. Like, this is it. You can't go down 0-2 or you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, this feels like the Sixers season.
Yeah, and by the way, Phoenix Suns, that's another team. Like, everybody loved the Suns against the Timberwolves. We dominated them in the regular season. Anthony Edwards averaged 14 a game against the Suns.
He was the best player on the floor.
He's unstoppable.
3 out of 4 teams that win game one in the NBA playoffs win the series. And it just, you got to be ready to play. And I think as the regular season has become more load management and less intense, these road teams walk in, and that Milwaukee crowd, that doesn't sound like a Tuesday against Orlando.
I love Halliburton. What was going on? Like, it was the first playoff game, and what? He took 7 shots. What are you doing?
And then Dame at home, a veteran, looked like it was game 7.
Oh, we don't need Giannis. I'm good. I got 35 at the half.
And didn't score at all in the second.
Did not. Yeah. Crazy.
Strangest line.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the Kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
And I was thinking of this, you know, people love to point out when opinionists like myself and others, many others, are wrong. But what happens when you are? Years ago, there was this argument that KD was better than LeBron, and I laughed at it over and over. LeBron's game, there's more depth, he's a leader, he's stronger, he's more reliable, and he makes really good decisions. What if Kevin Durant gets rolled here in round one by Minnesota? Not exactly a historical juggernaut. It will point out what the almost apologetic NBA media always fails to do. KD makes bad decisions. Can you imagine Patrick Mahomes saying, I'm done with Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. I want to go play for the Jets because I like this slot receiver. That's essentially what KD did, leaving a dynasty. At one point, the argument that KD was better than LeBron was a furious debate. I rolled my eyes at it. KD is a great shot maker, an all-timer. Love his game. But his skill set should put him in the top one or two in the last decade. And frankly, he's getting lost. Jokic looks much better historically. Steph is really the soul of the Warriors, winning titles before him, during, and after. Anthony Davis now is a more consistent player on both ends. Giannis has more regular season MVPs. As I'm watching Phoenix get rolled, Kevin Durant's becoming increasingly irrelevant. It wasn't long ago that the apologetic NBA media gave him a pass for leaving the NBA penthouse from ownership down for a fixer-upper in Brooklyn and then a remodel in Phoenix. And it's not working here either. I like him. I like his game. I've said if there was a one-on-one tournament, he'd probably beat Jordan. He's a great scorer. But NBA players have power and they have leverage. That doesn't mean they make good decisions. What if he gets rolled by Minnesota after that debacle in Brooklyn? Anybody in the NBA media going to call him out? You'd call out Mahomes because the NFL media isn't here to protect its stars. It's here to cover them. Report, not support. But you know what KD's starting to feel like? You're going to call me nuts. Like a more available Kawhi. Enigmatic, mysterious, not sure why he does what he does, super talented, can get you a basket and a stop. But what is he? Is he just somebody that's talented with a skill set that should make him a top two player in the league? But with all these young, great players coming, most from Europe, Jokic now established as the best player. What's the gap between Jokic and Durant? It's not close. It's the Grand Canyon. And LeBron's already established him as a Grand Canyon separation from KD. Steph Curry now has separated. Giannis has more regular season MVPs. It's not to say I don't like KD's game, but couldn't I argue he's kind of closer to Kawhi now than the best players of the league? Is that a hot take? But when he left Golden State, that had the best GM, arguably, and the best coach, and the best unit, and the best players, because, you know, he struggled sometimes with a Kerr or a Draymond. Get over it. Like, I know he just wanted to go play with his friend, but in every other sport, would you leave a Yankee dynasty to go play with the Rays? Really, if you already had the bag? Would you leave the Chiefs and Andy Reid as a quarterback because you had a buddy going to play for the Jets? I thought the decision at the time was ridiculous, and nobody called him out on it. And maybe that's just the NBA, where players have power and leverage and can do what they want to do. But if they do get rolled by Minnesota, and I mean, they didn't look constructed well. Like, that wasn't competitive. And I think they'll come back and be competitive. But what has KD become? And I asked J-Mac, who's got a personal relationship apparently with him, what will he become as I watch for 2.5 hours Phoenix not be? And by the way, Booker was awful. I'm not blaming KD. What does he become? Because I know the debate 4 years ago that I rolled my eyes at was, well, he's better than LeBron. That Warriors title, once he left, kind of put the dagger in that argument, didn't it?
I would say so. But let's be real, that whole KD better than LeBron, it wasn't like a five-minute argument. That was 2 years where they went back-to-back. KD was the best player on the best team, and KD annihilated LeBron in the finals. Now, he did have a stacked deck. He had a stacked deck. Yeah, right. Since then, he's done jack squat. The thing that troubled me, and I still think the Suns win this series, let's not overreact to game one. He had one assist in 39 minutes, and that's been his game. I just want to hoop. I want to go. Well, that's not basketball. It's a team sport. In the huddle, who's getting on Devin Booker? D-Book, what's going on? McDaniels is locking you up? I mean, Booker could do nothing. If they're getting 15, 20 points from Booker, they're not winning this series.
It was an F in terms of effort. They were completely pushed around for 2.5 hours. And again, I can think two things at one time. I think he's an all-time great player. But he's becoming less relevant. I mean, when Kawhi misses a game and they trounce the Mavericks, I said this 2 years ago, you got to move off Kawhi. Well, what are we doing here? What do we keep pretending he's something?
They're not doing that. Come on. Clippers opening. By the way, I drove by the new Clippers facility. Have you seen the outside?
It's gorgeous.
Looks amazing. Looks like something out of the Avengers.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, like, you know, what is Kevin Durant? You know, we do the whole legacy thing. It's been one game in the playoffs. But you start to what? He can't be a top 10 player all time. He just cannot if he doesn't.
Well, he's
like,
not
get
a guy that calls players out. He wouldn't call Simmons out in Houston.
Well, no, he'll do it on Brooklyn podcasts. He'll do it in
but
media
he won't be it. He wouldn't call Kyrie out in person in Brooklyn. He didn't call Booker out this weekend. Again, some guy, Kobe Bryant was confrontational. Michael Jordan was confrontational. I don't know if LeBron is or not. KD's not. Maybe a podcast confrontational, right, but not real. And again, I like his game. But considering his skill set, I mean, I've had people tell me that we're on the Olympic staff, like, you cannot believe his talent. It's next generation. It doesn't even make sense compared to other great players. And I'm just like, he just now, I look at him and I'm like, this Phoenix thing ain't working. I mean, is this what it is? They got hot at the end of the season, mostly because Beal played great.
I think let's not get caught overreacting, okay? It is just one game. But something's got to change pretty quick. I think Durant has to be who's the leader in that huddle?
Well, no, we've said
this. Anthony Edwards is punking everyone on the team.
We said this for years now. Before Chris Paul got there, Phoenix was awful.
Yeah.
With Devin Booker. So Chris Paul was the leader. So Chris Paul leaves. Say what you want, he's a leader. Kevin comes in. Well, Kevin's not a leader. And Beal doesn't want to be a leader. And Booker's never been the leader. They're just talented dudes. They're just great players. So it's sort of a rudderless ship. Like, Anthony Edwards was embracing leadership. Mike Conley, historically, they brought Mike Conley in. Well, that's a leader.
It was Carl Anthony Towns' team, and pretty quickly we realized this is Ant Squad.
Well, and they also brought in Mike Conley, because Mike Conley's high IQ, veteran player.
He was terrible, by the way.
He was, but he holds guys accountable. Chris Paul hasn't been good, but Chris is verbally, he'll come after you.
Like, you knew when the Bucks came out, like, Dame Lillard was in that huddle. Guys, Giannis ain't here. I've been to the show before.
I've always thought Dame's a leader.
Right.
I've always thought Dame's a leader.
You can't quantify that, but does Kevin Durant have the leadership gene?
I went to a Lakers-Warriors game. You and I went to the one when you were way upstairs. And when I went to that game, the game was over late. Draymond Green, as I left the arena with 2 minutes left, Draymond Green's on the huddle, and they lead by whatever, 10, 12, barking. Like, some guy, like, and by the way, his barking was off-putting to Durant, who was there at the same time. You can't leave that team for Brooklyn. You can't leave Steph for Kyrie. You can't do that. And then you can't want out and go to Phoenix and not be a leader when you know Booker and Beal aren't. Like, at some point, Let's stop supporting, start reporting, and being honest here.
It's weird that he made such a great move dumping OKC and Russ to go to Golden State. Like, genius move, one of the smartest I've ever seen in the NBA. And then everything since then has just not been good. I don't know why. I still don't know why he picked Kyrie in Brooklyn. Kyrie's kind of like cool among the players, love him. You know, Kyrie is your favorite player's favorite player. You know that saying? I don't know if anybody's favorite player, other than Anthony Edwards, is KD. Because all he does is score. He doesn't make anyone better.
One assist.
In 39 minutes.
Are we being too harsh? Calling right, calling wrong, top of next hour. Maybe we're too harsh. Maybe we have to soften things up. Become like the NBA media.
I'm coming in hot.
I'm so excited for the draft Thursday.
Yeah.
In fact, I've had two opportunities to get a free dinner Wednesday. I've turned it off. Can't do it.
Really?
I've got to be rested for draft day. I've had two people reach out. They're in town. Hey, on dinner Wednesday. Unavailable.
Is it because of the restaurant? If they said Nobu Malibu, you got to hit it.
No,
up. I've never been.
But. You can't be up late Wednesday. I have to get solid sleep Wednesday. No alcohol all weekend. Total clarity for draft picks.
We have a little time here, 30 seconds. Have you noticed how there's not as many leaks this year regard to the draft?
You know why? Because there's going to be more moves.
Well, there's also gambling involved, and I do think the league has done a great job. A lot of this, Jaden Daniels too, that's starting to pull back according to the gambling odds. It was running on nothing. It was like, Jaden Daniels could go second. Why, again? Who's reporting that? And it was all just speculation. Drake May back up to two, Cowherd. It's happening. It's happening, baby.
All right. We are ready to go. Don't forget, save big in your water and energy bills. TanklessMadeSimple.com. It's a Navien 15-year limited warranty. Monday, hour two next.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.